All right, be seated.
Thank you, Roy.
Great singing, yes. Love the hymns of the faith, don't you? We're in the book of Revelation here in our midweek service. I invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 19, verse number 15, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter, verse 21. Revelation chapter 19, what a chapter. I think this may be our third or fourth time just in this chapter here, Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Lord, be with us tonight as we look at the battle of Armageddon here, and now you come back in your second coming. Before you set up your kingdom, you're going to have to clean some things up. Help us in understanding this, in Jesus' name, amen. In our last study, in verses 11 through 14, we saw the second coming of Christ as his appearing will be visible, and as he comes in the fullness of his power and his glory. We saw that he's followed by the armies that consist of his bride, the church, that consists of the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints who were killed during the period of the tribulation, and along with the mighty angels. In his return, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to take ownership. He already owns the earth. Remember, Satan is the god of this world, or as the prince and power of the air, and using the Antichrist to set up his kingdom on the earth. The Lord's going to take back the earth that's his. He's going to rule and reign on the earth. And to do so, he's going to defeat his enemies, as we see in our study today, with the battle of Armageddon. Right here on the onset, I want us to notice the authority of Christ in verses 15 and 16. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Having been given full authority in heaven and on earth, the Lord returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As by the power of his word we see, he will smite the nations and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Remember, during the tribulation, and especially the last half, it's the Antichrist who set up his kingdom on the earth. Everything revolved around him. He required men to take his mark and to worship him, and he set up his kingdom. He was the king. But his kingdom's coming to an end. as the Lord, as the King of Kings comes. And he's going to do away. We've already seen the destruction of his kingdom, the destruction of Babylon. And tonight we're going to see the destruction of the Antichrist. As the Lord comes, he's armed. Notice, with a sharp sword proceeding out of his mouth, as Isaiah 11, verse 4 says, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And we're going to see that take place here, how he smites the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, and slays the wicked. All that takes place in the Battle of Armageddon. The sharp sword is the Word of God, as the weapons of his warfare are not carnal. He doesn't need carnal weapons. This is the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of Lords. He doesn't need a physical sword. The weapons of his warfare are not carnal. All the Lord has to do is speak his word, and the sword of his mouth will devour his enemies. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus seized the reins of power of the earth. As the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God will justly come upon all those who oppose our righteous Lord. Remember, the Lord's coming to make war, and he's coming, and he does it righteously. His vengeance is righteously. His vengeance is just. But he is coming, and all those who oppose him, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all those nations, all those who oppose him, he will make war. We say he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress like crushing grapes, a winepress. Like crushing grapes, the Lord will crush his foes as their blood will pour out. The ruling with the rod of iron, that refers to the way that he will govern during his millennial reign, no longer will sin and corruption and ungodliness be tolerated. What a day that will be. Look at the world today, where sin and corruption and ungodliness is defiled, and things are so perverted. Oh, things are sickening. I can barely stand the news today. It's all going to change in the millennial reign of Christ. The news will be good. Ruling with a rod of iron, he's not going to put up with that. And we'll get to that later, even in the next chapter. But the Lord returns to rule victoriously, as the fullness of his power and his authority is known. The authority of Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he has full right to come back and take what's his. Satan, for far too long, has had his way in deceiving this world. And it's time that where the Lord says, enough's enough, and now's the time, and he comes back. We see the authority of Christ. Notice the avenging of Christ. The avenging of Christ, we see it involves the fowls. Notice Revelation 19, verse 17 and 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. So he's out in the sky, right? And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven. There are three heavens, right? The heaven of our sky, the heaven of outer space, and the heaven of eternal glory of the Lord. So obviously the sky, where we see birds, fowls of the air flying, right? So here's the angel in the sky. He cries with a loud voice. And notice how creation obeys the Lord, or the word of the Lord given by the messenger, the angel here. And so all he has to do is cry out to the birds here, the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven. He cries out, come! And gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. We saw early in this chapter there's going to be a great supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is a different supper, amen? This is not the marriage supper of the Lamb. No one wants to feed on this, but the fowls of the air will happily feed on this supper. Notice he describes what the supper is, that you may eat the flesh of kings. Notice under the Antichrist, and we've seen that, and the restored Roman Empire, notice 10 kings, but those rulers around the world. And so while the Antichrist headed up his kingdom, he had kings, he had nations still under him. And so that he may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, that's a position in the army, an officer, and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and the flesh of them that sit on them. This all describes an army. And the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So it really covers everyone. So the birds of the air are summoned to eat the flesh of the soon defeated armies of the Antichrist as the Lord's returning to conquer them. So already, before the battle begins, there's an announcement made, the messenger of the Lord, the angel, birds gather together. And now the battle hasn't begun yet, but start making your way. There's going to be a whole battlefield here full of corpses, full of the carcasses of man. Come and clean up and eat, feast, the great supper. Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 and 28, as we've seen the great chapter, the commentary of Matthew on the tribulation. And now, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's not the rapture, that's the second coming here. And then it says, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So as the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, the angel calls the fowls of the air and the eagles, and there they'll be gathered together and ready. The birds will have much to feast on with this great supper that God provides. Notice the birds will equally pick away on the carcasses. They don't care if they were kings or paupers, right? Flesh is flesh to the birds. And yeah, they'll small, great. They may be considered small and mighty or great in the world's eyes. But to the world, to the fowls of the air, they won't discriminate. A dead body's a dead body to them. And they will feast on a great supper provided by God. We see here with the vengeance and the fowls, and notice here the foes in verse number 19. And I saw the beast, this is the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. He who sits on the horse, we've seen that. We saw that last week. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, his armies. We just reviewed that. That's the bride, the Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints who've been martyred at this point, the mighty angels. So as the Lord returns, we see the nations of the world would have gathered together in Israel at the place called Armageddon to battle the Lord. Just back up to Revelation chapter 16, we've seen the word Armageddon is found in one place, and that's in Revelation chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. This all goes together. Revelation 16, 14 says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. So this is the working of the Antichrist, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle, to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So how does the Antichrist, Satan, how do they get all these to come and to gather together? We see they're going to travel great distances. We've already seen the Euphrates River dried up. We've seen the armies of the East, the Far East, China, and those who have traveled across to be there. Are there armies of the world coming down from Russia and Europe? And well, we see from Revelation 16:14 how they do that. The spirits of devils, the miracles, the great deceit, and to call all these armies together to go and to get involved in this. And God and the Lord says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth." We're in Revelation 16:15. "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So there's the name. And Revelation 19:19, we're seeing it all start to take place here now as they're at Armageddon. They're at Armageddon. It means the mountain of Megiddo. That it overlooks the valley of us Esdraelon. It's also called Jezreel. We looked at that previously. There's been many notable battles in the Bible in this very place. And so we'll see the Antichrist. We see his armies. We'll all be gathered together. They're there. It's funny how they know Jesus is coming, don't they? Satan knows his end. He knows it all. That the Antichrist knows all this is going to happen. They know the Lord's coming back. And they're all going to be gathered to make war against Jesus Christ. How foolish is that? For the creation to make war against the Creator. How brazen, what audacity they have. That they're going to war the Creator who made his creation. But no weapon formed against him can prosper. The rebellion of man has come to its full gathering together to make war against the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this point, we see the wrath of God reaches its peak. A foolish man to think he can make war against Almighty God, against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is the sinfulness and the wickedness and the evil of man, and certainly the Antichrist, and to try to make war against the Lord. Revelation 19:20 says, at this battle, and here's the battle. Don't blink or you'll miss it. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." The battle. These who have all assembled together, the great nations and armies and kings, the Antichrist himself and the false prophet, all there to make war against the Lord Jesus Christ. But the battle will be quick. We see the Lord takes the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're both. He takes them, and like that, he casts them alive into the lake of fire. These who had tricked, these who had deceived people into accepting the beast and his mark. These who had gathered the vast army in a vain attempt to dethrone the Lord Jesus. Their end comes suddenly and justly. Amen? They'll be the first to go into the lake of fire. Nobody's in the lake of fire today. People are in hell today. The lake of fire is a final judgment. Those in hell will go into the lake of fire. But we see the very first to go into the lake of fire, the final place of judgment, the ultimate hell. And these will go first before the millennium takes place. Before any man or angel be cast there 1,000 years later, we see the first. And we'll read more about that in Revelation 20. Now the followers of these wicked ones, the followers who bought into the lies and bought into the deceit, the ones who lined up Because the government said so, they lined up and they gave their forehead or they gave their hand to receive the mark of the beast. After all, they said, we got to do it. So these who did that, the ones who said, who is like unto the beast? The ones who had once said, who is able to make war with him? Remember that from Revelation 13, verse 4? The ones who had great awe and amazement over the power of the Antichrist who appeared to be mortally killed and died and rose again, and the one who claimed he is the Christ, those who said, oh, who's able to make war against him? Now they have their answer. They have their answer as the ones they had glorified are cast alive into the lake of fire by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They have their answer. Who's able to make war against him? Our mighty God is. Revelation 19, 21. As for the rest and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Not one of the foes of Christ lives through the battle. All the remaining armies, they're all slain by the sword of the word of God as his word defeats evil. Isaiah 34, verse 2 tells us, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Direct reference here to the Battle of Armageddon from Isaiah. It's a slaughter. The Lord does the work. Praise God for the power of his word. He just speaks by the sword of his mouth. It's done. He doesn't even break a sweat. They had assembled to make war against the Lord and his armies. They want to make war against us. Of course, they're doing that today, right? Satan's system's doing that today. But praise God, he will destroy all enemies by the power of his spoken word. He who spoke the universe into existence can just as well overcome the powers of darkness and sinful man. They'll be trodden down like grapes in a wine press, just easily as crushing grapes. Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 4, describe this time as well. Isaiah 63, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Remember his vesture dipped in blood? Who's this with the red dyed vesture? This is that. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone. See, the Lord's going to do all this by himself. And of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood, the blood of his foes, shall be sprinkled upon my garments. So he comes, or he already has a red vesture coming from heaven, but now their blood's going to be sprinkled upon him. And he says, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 4, the Battle of Armageddon. The forces of evil that set out to make war with the Lord, they're defeated when the Lord returns as their blood is splat upon the Lord's raiment. And while their dead bodies are feasted on by the fowls of the air, their souls await in hell. until the great white throne judgment sentences them into the lake of fire, which will occur at the end of the 1,000 years of Christ's rule on earth. Though the armies of heaven return with the Lord, the battle is his and his alone. He returns to tread out his enemies in his righteous wrath, and he tramples them with his fury. He returns in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He comes, he does all the work. What a leader, amen? He fights the battle, all by the power of his word. Evil is overcome as good, is overcome with good as the Lord returns victorious. Psalm 119, verse 137 tells us, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. So with the premillennial coming of Christ, he rules victorious at the battle of Armageddon. Thus ends the battle. Can a man step up, please? Somebody step up. Thank you. And so with the premillennial coming of Christ, he rules victorious at the battle of Armageddon, and thus ends the battle. For the following 1,000 years, there'll be peace on earth as the Lord rules and reigns. But before that happened, you may have noticed there's one foe that has not been mentioned here. Who's that? Satan. As we continue in our next study, in our next chapter, don't worry. Satan's got his coming too, and we'll see what happens to him next week. Lord, we love you. We're thankful for your word, the study of your word, Lord. Thankful, Lord, the battle of Armageddon, how you come and the glory of your power, full authority, your righteous indignation, your avenging. And you make quick work of the enemies, the Christ rejectors of the world. Thank you, Lord. What an exciting time. And we who are saved will be with you. We'll be on white horses right behind you. We'll be praising you, honoring you, and glorifying you as we do now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.